Okay.
Probably too many people that don't know that we're here.
Yeah, so I put the sign up downstairs, but we'll see. All right. So I wanted to just get to something that we didn't get to last time we learned, which will be our on our final discussion here in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, which is we've been discussing this idea that the Ikrim are things that the person, you know, has to know, and it's and if they don't know it, so then it's, you know, it's not somebody who just hasn't heard it, not blaming them, but it's, you know, at the end of the day they don't know it, so they have, you know, a certain status. So just wanted to discuss this morning exactly what is the fate and the status of someone who, because they never heard about it, they don't know one or several of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and, you know, in our days, very relevant question that we have, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews who fit into this category of the Tinok Shenishba, as we call it, someone who was raised on, you know, incorrect beliefs, and they brought up that way, and through no fault of their own, they've been raised with an incorrect set of beliefs. Now, the term Tinok Shenishba is really a borrowed term. The term Tinok Shenishba is actually a Tinok Shenishba Levin Hagoyim, is actually referring to a Jewish child who was taken captive by non-Jews and raised among non-Jews. But there were Rishonim and even Achronim and even some Rishonim who used the term, borrowed the term for our topic, of someone who just was, you know, raised among Jews, but was taught incorrectly. And the big question also going to be that what about, you know, a Jew, the Jew who's, you know, captured by Goyim and raised in, you know, Nigeria, so they might not, they never find out they're Jewish, they don't know what Jews believe, they don't know it, but you have someone who knows they're Jewish, they've, you know, seen the CNN interviews with Haredi Jews in you know, Brooklyn, and they know about Jews, they know about Judaism, and they know they're Jewish, so where do they fit into this? So that's going to be the question.
So is it about when they reach adulthood?
What?
Is it a question about where they fit in when they reach adulthood?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Fine. So basically, we're going to start with the Rambam in the. So we're all this is going to be within just the different comments of the Rambam and fitting everything together within the Rambam's view on this topic. We'll start with how this fits into the Yud Gimel Ikrim. That the Rambam at the postscript of the Ikrim says, the Kasher Yu Kayamim La'Avim Kol Yesodos Halalu Emunasu Ba'Em Amitis. When you have someone who knows all of these principles and his belief in them is correct, is accurate, Harehu Nichmas B'Klal Yisrael, then he is considered part of Klal Yisrael. B'Chova La'Avo V'Lachmo La'Av V'Kol Ma'Shatziv Hashem Osanu Ze Al Ze Min Ava V'Achva. And they have all of the mitzvos that are between Bein Adam L'Chaver that apply between Jews that applies to this person. Skip a couple. So from there, it would sound like that, you know, if you know these things, then you're part of Klal Yisrael. If you don't know them, so then we can't really consider you part of Klal Yisrael. The kasher yifakfik adam b'yisod me'elo yisodos. When a person questions one of these principles, hariza yatsam in a klal, he has left the group. The kafar b'ikar, and he has rejected an ikar v'nikar min v'avikar. It quotes Benetios, he is called a heretic, and I don't translate all these words, but and Kotitz Benetios, the Chovel Sanoso, it is an obligation to hate him, Ulahashmido, and to destroy him, the Alav who Omer Halo Masniecha Hashem Esna. And about him it says, those who hate you, Hashem, I shall hate. Now, before we go any further,
strong language there.
Strong language there. that before we go further, just to point out, there is somewhat of an excluded middle in what the Rambam is talking about here, which is that on the one hand he's talking about someone who knows these things and believes them, and on the other hand he's talking about someone who rejects them, someone who was kofer be'ikar, someone who rejected one of them. And so there is someone left out, the status of a person who just doesn't, he hasn't rejected them, but he doesn't know them, right? Because if you don't know it, then you haven't rejected it, you just don't know it. So, from the beginning it sounds like you have to know it to be included in the college style. The latter half is that someone who rejects it, that person is a kofar, that's a fiyuv too, that's a, we'll see a din called morin zain malin, that you actually do your best to bring about the demise of that person, and that's the status of that person. But possibly, you know, somewhere in the middle is a person who doesn't know about it in the first place, and so we'll try and figure that out. So the starting point...
Maybe two questions. Is this talking about someone that rejects any of the principles or all the principles?
Any of them.
So, why... I guess I never thought of Judaism as a religion that wants us to hate people. Like, hate is a very strong word. Like, just don't have put any credence to them. Just ignore them. Like, why should you hate them? Is that really why Hashem wants us to hate people?
So it's a good question. It might be on the scope of this discussion, but let's just, to be dramatic for a moment, let's imagine that there's a person who every day wakes up in the morning and finds an innocent baby and kills them in a painful way, and then every afternoon they go and they rape someone, and
but those are extreme.
But just to say, but so we say that we should hate such a person. So we understand that what they're doing is terrible, and you know that we understand what that what they're doing is, you know, contrary to you know the purpose for which the world was created. And there, right, and we understand that, you know, that person is despicable and whatever it is. So, in a different sense of the word, because we're not but someone who, and the Rambam is describing someone who knowingly rejects one of the ikrim, a Jew who was, let's just to put it the most simple case, a Jew was brought up with knowing this, being taught, and decides on their own that to reject it. So that person in the big scheme of things is destructive to the world. Is in a spiritual sense, in the realm where it really matters. So they're destructive. The Rambam describes the kotzeitz v'netiyos is a term that the Gemara uses for someone who in the spiritual realm, whatever you call it, is causing wreaking havoc. So such a person is also, it's harder for us to see. We don't see it that way because we don't see the you know, we only see what's in front of our eyes, but that person is also destructive.
I mean, if I took that literally, I would be hitting a lot of my family members.
Well, so the next question is that what if someone is that way because the education that they had, or whatever it is.
Let's say it has nothing to do with education. Someone that left the church.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't hope that Judaism is about hating people like that. But let's even take another simple example. They believe in everything. They don't believe in Tzvi HaSavetzky. I should hate them for that? I don't understand it. Is this pasuk from the Torah?
Some people are very conservative.
But that's someone saying that must literally be someone that hates Hashem, you should hate them.
That someone that those who hate you, Hashem, I shall hate.
Okay, so I understand why you would use that pasuk for someone who doesn't believe in Tzvi HaSavetzky.
All right. But so the most direct place to start this discussion is the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre. And here the Rambam essentially, directly addresses this point, and he says, as is in Parak Gimel, chapter 3 of Hilchos Mamrim, the Rambam says, Misha Eino Mode B'Torah Shabal Peh, Eino Zakein Mamre Ha'amor B'Torah. Someone who does not believe in the Torah Shabal Peh is not the Zakein Mamre who's described in the Torah who gets a death penalty, Ella, who gets a death penalty by Beis Din, Ella Hareza B'Klal Ha'Pikorsim U'Misaso B'Chol Adam. He is an apikores. He's somewhat even lower than the Zakin Mamre, whom he saw before Adam. He says, and really, you don't even need Beis Din for the death penalty that applies to that person. The Rambam says in Halacha Beisha, he talks about anybody who rejects the Torah Shabal Peh is Malin Vein Moridin. They're included in the apikoresim who are described in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Shakol Elu Einam Bichlal Yisrael. Anyone like that is excluded from Klal Yisrael. Bamed Zvarim Amurim. Here the Rambam says, and this is what we want to see. When is this true? Ba'ish Shakafar B'Torah Shabal Peh B'Mach Shavaso U'B'Dvarim Shenirlo. When someone rejects the Torah Shabal Peh through his own thoughts, meaning his own conclusions in B'Dvarim Shenirlo, through, you know, what has occurred to him, through his own assessment of the Masorah, or his own assessment of the facts. V'halach achar daito akala, he went over after his own feeble assumptions, v'achar shriras libo, and is following his own heart, the kofer b'Torah Shabal Peh tefila, and he originates a rejection of Torah Shabal Peh, k'tzaduk u'baitus, like tzaduk and baitus, v'chim k'atom acharav, and all of those who chose to follow after tzaduk and baitus. And Baitus. Tzaduk is the father of the Tzadukim. Baitus was the founder of the Baitusim. There were sects that rejected the Torah Shabal Peh. B'nei HaTorah Me'ila, but the children of these those of these people who stray, who b'nei b'neihem, and their children's children, shehidichos ha'avosam, that their fathers kind of took them off. The Noldu Bein HaKarayim, and they were born amongst the Karaites, the Gadlo Samal Daitam, and they were raised with that philosophy. Harehu Katino Chenishma Beinayim. He's like a child that was taken captive among them, the Gadlu, and they raised him, the Eino Zarus, Lechos Vedarkei Mitzvos, and he is not going to be quick to grab onto the Mitzvos, Shaharehu Ka'anus, because he's like an honest, he's like someone who was forced into it. The Afapi Shashama Farkat, Shahu Yehudi, even though he heard afterwards that he's a Jew, the Ra Hayehudim Vadaitim, and he saw the Jews and their religion, Harehu Ka'anas, he's still like an Onis, Shahare Gadlu Al Ta'usam, because this is what he was raised with, this is what he knows. Kach Elu Sha'amarnu, so to those who we discussed, Ha'osim Badaki Avosim Akaraim Shatau, who are raised on the philosophy, the belief system of their parents, the crime, who raised them, and they're holding on to that. It's you know, that's what do you expect from them? That's what they're raised with. You can't hold it against them that they're doing that. Lefikach roi lahachziran b'tshuva ulamashcham b'divrei shalom ad sheyachzur le'esan haTorah. Therefore, it's appropriate to return them in tshuva and to approach them with divrei shalom, with the words of peace, and until you can return them to the Torah. So here the Rambam explicitly seems to say that someone who is a Tino Shanishva, who does not know one of the Ikrim, because Torah Shabal Peh is one of the Ikrim, the Rambam says it explicitly in the 8th Ikr, the Torah Shabal Peh. So someone who does not believe in the Torah Shabal Peh is... But the Tinok Shanishba in that regard, so they are they're not held accountable for that. They're not included in this category of what the Rambam described in the end of the Hakdama Techilah, that they're excluded from Klal Yisrael, and that they're not Bikoris. They're excluded from that. They're exempt, and therefore you're supposed to love them, to try and draw them in, and to try and bring them back.
One can derive from this. It's better to send your kids to public school than to yeshiva. Because if you don't give them the education, they're
tell you next year. Okay. Like if you send them the education and they go off the derrick, they're really messed up. Better to let them be a teenage schnitzel than the Apicuris. Right?
I mean,
unless you're 100% confident that your child is not going to ever leave the derrick.
Well, so we'll see in a minute. Being a Tino Chinishba does not mean that you're on the same ground as someone who actually knows and believes. So we'll see. Well, I know, but then they're not better off that way. They might be better off than if they know and reject, but they're certainly much worse off than if they actually know and don't reject it.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you're worried about the consequences of what potentially could happen,
but now you're guaranteeing that they'll be bad. Meaning you have future hope.
They can come back.
What?
No, you don't teach them well until they're 18, and then they can come back.
But the Rambam is busy telling you they're an onis because you have zero expectation of them coming back, and it's not their fault. So you're saying that's good odds? What the Rambam is describing as so beyond their what's expected of them that they're an onis. They're not held accountable if they don't come back, because you don't expect them to. That's what you think is where we should say, let's put them there where we don't expect them to come back, because then they'll be not coming back but the onis. They'll be at a level of basically a nebuch, who knows nothing, but it's not his fault that he knows nothing. And then just hope that he goes against all the odds and comes back.
Isn't that better than someone that rejects it?
It is better, but it's much worse than someone who knows and believes.
It is. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, it's scary stuff. It's scary stuff.
It is.
Right. Very strong language here.
Alright, just to fill you in really quickly, we're discussing the Tino Chinishba, person who of no fault of their own was raised on whatever they were raised with and therefore does not accept one of the Yod Gimel Ikrim because he's never taught it. Right? So the Rambam in the end of his Haftama describes that someone who knows the Yod Gimel Ikrim is part of Klal Yisrael. Someone who rejects the Yod Gimel Ikrim is not part of Klal Yisrael. And kind of left in the middle, what about someone who doesn't know and doesn't know any one of them, or someone who rejects any one of them, right? But so it's kind of left someone in the middle, that's someone who doesn't know but didn't reject it either. So the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim directly addresses the children of the Karayim who were raised not knowing, being taught, you know, what their parents have taught them. And he calls them a Tinok Shanishba. They're taken captive. And even though someone who rejects Torah Shabbal Peh is an Apikores, that's in the 8th Iker, they rejected one of the Ikrim, someone who was raised on that is not in that category. They're still considered part of Klal Yisrael. You have a mitzvah to treat them with Ava and to try and draw them back with Divrei Shalom. And so the Rambam seems to explicitly say that this idea of rejecting the Ikrim is only if you reject it, but if you just don't know, so then it's not your fault. However, if you turn the page, I think I actually accidentally put this out of order because I think I wanted to see the next page before this page. Hold on a second.
The thing I thought was very strong is that you should hate that person. You should hate a happy color. Someone that rejects any of the principles, you should hate them.
Right.
Which I thought was anyone that leaves the Dera. Are we supposed to hate our own family members because they left the Dera? That's to me a very strong language.
So my response was that it's a bigger topic than what we're going to get into today. More complicated than what we're going to get into today. All right, so maybe we'll just go in the order that I put it in, and it'll be okay. So this is in Hilchos Shechita, in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Shechita. We're going to see Halacha Yud Dalet and Halacha Tes Zayin, the parts that I've underlined here, and I see a little bit of a seems to be a contradiction here.
and try and put this together. So the Rambam says the Inhaya Meshumud La'avoda Zara. He's talking about who is allowed to do Shlita. So someone who has gone off to Avoda Zara, or Machal Shabbos Bar Hesia, or is desecrates the Shabbos publicly, or Min, or a heretic. What is that? But who Kofer B'Torah Uva Moshe Rabbeinu Kamosh Be'arun B'Hilchos Tshuva. He has rejected the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, likely explained in Hilchos Tshuva. That's reference to where he lists the Yud Gimel Ikrim in Paragimel Hilchos Tshuva. Harehu Kigoy, he's like a non-Jew, Vishchitasu Nevela, and his Shchita is treif, it's a nevela. That's as good as if it died without shlita. And the Rambam, in context, is referring to even if someone is standing over him watching what he does. Now, the Rambam in Halachat HaZayin seems to contradict this. The Rambam, two halachas later, says, Elu ha-tzadukim ha-baitusim v'talmideihim. These tzadukim and baitusim and their students, who reject the Torah about that, v'kol ha-toim acharehim, and all of those who stray after them, she'enim ma'aminim b'Torah Shebaal Peh, that they don't believe the Torah Shebaal Peh, shchitasa masura, it is also to eat their shchita. However, v'im shachdu b'faninu, if they did the shchita in front of us, harezu moteris, then you could eat their shchita. Why? She'en iso shchitasa el shema yikalkalu, because the only concern is that maybe they'll mess it up. Maybe they'll do something that we're not okay with, since they reject the Torah Shebaal Peh. Maybe they'll do the Shechita in a way with which we're not okay. They don't believe the whole Halachos Shechita, really all Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah has one reference. It says, Zarach Tasher Tzivi Sifa. You'll do it as I commanded you. The Torah doesn't say how you were commanded to do it. It's all Torah Shebaal Peh, so maybe they'll mess it up. But if someone's watching and made sure they did it correctly, then it's okay. They're not believed to say we didn't mess it up, because they don't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they're not gonna. They don't think they did anything wrong if they messed it up, so they'll be willing to say it, right? But if someone watched and made sure they did it correctly, then it's okay, right? So but why aren't they? They should be included in the group that we just said in Halacha Yudalad that said that someone who rejects any of those things in Hilchos Tshuva, one of which is explicitly said there is the Torah Shebaal Peh, that their shchita is nevela. It doesn't matter if someone's watching what they did. You're like a Mechal Shabbos and Ovid Avodah Zarah. They're not considered. They're considered like a guy in this respect, and their shchita is nevela. So what's the difference? So Rabbi Yochanan Bechoffer, the author of Evan Shasia, suggests that this is in line with the same point that we were making before, that the difference is that the people that Ram is describing in Tazayin are the same people he was talking about in the source we just saw, the people who, through their were brought up, Elu HaTzadikim HaBaitusim, these tzadukim who are around today, and all of these people who are led after them, meaning that they've been brought up that way. So all of them, their shlita is a problem because they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. But they themselves are not considered not part of Klal Yisrael because they were raised this way. This isn't their fault. This is what they were brought up with, and therefore they're still considered part of Klal Yisrael. Their shlita is kosher, and they're it's just a problem of we're concerned of them doing something wrong.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So when someone is thinking about becoming a shochet, does he have to go in front of Mason and Mason asks him each of the 13 principles, like, do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in that?
I mean, the requirements for shchita for being a shochet are generally actually much more stringent than that.
Does it include that? Is that part of it, where they ask each of the 13 people? Because we know what they really believe in. How does the Basin or anyone know what they believe in?
So I don't know if they actually ask them, do you believe in this, do you believe in this? But one of the halachas of a shochet has to be that we know that he's a Yari Shemayim.
How do you even if you're a Yari Shemayim, you might not believe in all 13 principles.
Aren't you saying the key is that he's not doing it right?
Well, no, that's only by the people who through the people the Rambam is describing, these people who are raised that way.
I mean, it seems like very strong language. We should be eating a lot of food that not really we should be eating. Because if the Shoke didn't believe in one of the 13 principles, we're all in trouble.
But I think if you go through the requirements of, I don't know practically what, you know, if based in, I know the test that a Shoke goes through is more of a Hilchos Shechita test. I don't think based in comes and, you know, goes through a checklist of what he, but the only thing is, right?
According to this, that would be a major problem.
Well, if he actually didn't know, it would be a major problem. The assumption, I think, is if you see someone who is, you know, fits the description of what the halakha describes as a chassid and a yari shemayim and all these things, I think the assumption is that you don't assume, you know, someone is, keeping all of the mitzvos and the Torah and, you know, learning and the person's name, they don't just say, you know, a guy who comes to shul for Shacharis on Shabbos. It's like the description of a shochet is someone who's really is pious. So I think the assumption is that someone who fits that description is not going to be, you know, secretly in his heart. And if he is, that's, you know, you get anything, it's like that. All you have is what you
can see. That have ramifications where someone can impact other people. This seems to be one of the, you know, directly impacted. Right? This seems to be one of the few that I know of, at least, where depending on your belief system, you can completely be affecting thousands of people. Right? So if it turns out that maybe one of these shochets are Yerah Shamayim, they learn every day, they spend all their time learning, they're great, but they really don't believe in Tchias HaMashiach. Or whatever, pick one over the 13. That affects the whole Jewish community.
Right. I'm just telling you. I think that you're letting your imagination run wild here.
I'm going with the words are saying.
I know. But I'm just saying in practically, it's not a likely scenario that someone. It's not just a guy who, like, you know, you've seen him in Chol and he looks nice. We're talking about a person who's like, you know, like in our description, you know, he's like a rav. Like, you don't say, like, you know, I see the rabbi, you know, I know he gave a shiur on the Yud Gimel Ikrim, but maybe he doesn't believe in them. Like, that's not who we're talking about.
I guess it's up to you assume that every big rabbi really understands the 13 principles.
Well, you don't have to understand them. You just have to know them.
Or even know them.
Right. So if you've read the Ani Mamins at the end of the Siddur, you know, some people do it every day after Shacharis in about, like, 86 seconds. So if they do it slowly, right? But it doesn't take a lot to do what we're doing and spend 2.5 years going through and understanding why each ikker is an ikker and what exactly the philosophical ramifications, that's not required.
Right.
The Rambam says is just that you be aware of all of them. So anyone who's read the Yud Gimel Ikrim,
be aware and believe.
What?
You have to believe.
Yeah. Right. But so anyone who's, you know, that does not take much. You have to basically say, you basically have to have someone who says, I know better than the Rambam, I'm smarter than him, and I know he said this, but I've chosen to reject that. You generally won't have someone who's, you know, he's sitting in yeshiva for 15 years and he's, you know, everyone, you know, testifies that he's his righteousness and his piety, but secretly he's harboring, you know, what he knows are heretical beliefs and is just, like, secretly not telling anyone about it. And
you're going from one extreme to the other.
I don't think I'm being so extreme. That's what I'm trying to describe to you. The Shochet is not just a guy who, like, just generally seems to be a nice fellow and I don't think he's killing puppies in his spare time. A Shochet is a person who we really, like, he's as a chazaka, he's as in a, you know, he's shown that he is a pious person.
I understand that, but I don't want to labor too much. I just think that there could be still major bits of deacon that philosophically don't really understand the concept or agree with the SMA.
I don't think that you'll have that so much. I don't think that
meaning, no more than me.
There might be people who don't realize, you know, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban and you know, wonder, like, what the point is according to the Rambam and, you know, whatever it is, but just to know that, you know, that you know, there is such a thing as Tchias HaMeisim and you know, okay, the Torah says it'll be Tchias HaMeisim, okay, why shouldn't I believe that? I just want to be clear for a moment. All of the things that the Rambam says, a person to reject them isn't just like, well, you know, the Rambam says, but you're also rejecting Psukim in the Torah, right? You know, there are a pasuk in Daniel, right? But all right. In any case, but basically, so the distinction would seem to be between these two halachos, right? That in the one in Yudalit he's describing someone who's rejected the one of the ikrim, and in Halakha Tazayin that he's describing someone who these people who are raised on this belief, they're not held responsible. They're still considered part of Klal Yisrael. And even halachically, they're considered part of Klal Yisrael. Their shechita is kosher, right? It's not just like, you know, we'll be nice to them because they don't know. They're considered to have the status of being a kosher Jew. They're allowed to do shechita. I don't know if that means they'd be allowed to be an aide at a kasana. I don't know. But they certainly do not have the status of a kofar, of an apikoros, of the person who is, you know, knowingly rejected one of the ikrim. However, we turn the page. This is the we discussed this Rambam before, a well-known Rambam in Hillel's Tshuva, where we're just referring to. The Rambam writes, he's listing this is where he has his list of the 13 ikrim. He only lists 12 of them here, but in his list, and fourth on his list is third on his list is underlined here in Halacha Zayin, Targum Halacha Zayin, Hillel's Tshuva, Ha'omer Sheyesh Sham Ribon Echad. Somebody says there is one ruler of the world, Elishu Guf Ubal Tuna, but he has a body or some kind of form. That person is also a man. The Ravid here comes and argues, and he says, Lama Kara Lazamin. Why does the Rambam call this person a min, a heretic? There are plenty of righteous people who have gone this route because of their simple understanding of the Pesukim. The Yosem Imasha Rob and they've seen, you know, all of the Agados in the Gemara that seem to describe God as having a body, and they were led astray. They were confused by these, but they basically read the Torah. They took it at face value. The Torah talks about God's hand and God's arms and God's eyes and God's standing and all these things. So they just read the Torah and took it at face value. How could you call a person who basically learned the Torah in a straightforward way that he's an apikoros, right? So says the Ravid, I don't agree with the Rambam about this. You see from the Ravid that the Rambam was referring to someone who accidentally went that way. The person made a mistake. The person didn't say, I know that Chazal say whatever, and I don't care, I reject that. This person just, you know, no fault of their own. They read the Pesukim, they didn't know any better, and they were led, they're not philosophically rejecting whatever it is, they saw what the Torah says, and they took it at face value. The Rambam seems to be calling even such a person an apikoros. And indeed, based on this, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman actually said that, yeah, an apikoros, through no fault of his own, is still an apikoros. No chiluk in olam haba, and everything that comes with that. According to Rabbi Elchanan's shita, you have to try and understand how that fits with everything else we're seeing. But there are those who go that way. We'll come back in a minute to that. But the Rambam himself seems to have somewhat of a response to the Ravid in Mor Nevochim. This is in Chelek Aleph Perek Lamed Vav, I think. I didn't put the source here on the page, but says the Rambam says, he's talking about people who believe in God's corporeality, God having a body or a form. If you start to think that really we could give some justification, or at least some, you know, give some kind of excuse for those who believe in God having a body, in his being educated that way, Oh, mach masich ruso kota halagasa. Orfer is just, you know, being somewhat foolish and not intelligent enough to realize. Says if that's what you want to say in their defense, kach ra'ol achalios b'dea b'odavod azarish. Say the same thing about an idolater. Because he's either doing it because he doesn't realize how silly it is, or because his education, he was brought up with it. So, and says the Rambam, you know, somewhat reductio ad absurdum, that of course you're not going to say that by an Ovid Avodah Zarah, that, oh, okay, it's fine that he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah because he just doesn't know any better. So too, you can't say that about someone who believes God has a body. And if you'll say what the Rite had said, that, you know, what do you mean? It's not his fault. The simple interpretation of the Pesukim would lead him this way. So the Ovid Avodah Zarah, the idolater, also the only thing that brought him there was misconceptions and misunderstandings and things like that also. Nimtza, she'ein his nafzos l'mi she'ein usomech al ba'alei ha'in ha'amitim, that there is no excuse for someone who does not rely on the true masters of understanding. Im hayakatzar yicholas yonis, if he himself lacks his own depth of understanding, so we have a Masora, we have those who have already been through this and know the MS. So there's no excuse for not relying on them. The Aini Koshev Lakofer Mishalo Huchaklo Shulos Hagashmas. I'm not saying that you have to have a philosophical understanding of the arguments and know and understand why it doesn't make sense that God doesn't have a body, or why it doesn't make sense that God would have a body. So it's fine if you don't know why it is that you should be believing that God doesn't have a body. But I am saying that to kofar anyone who has not established for themselves that it is so, that God doesn't have a body. Ubiprat in Matthias Targum Unklos of Targum Yonasan Ben Ozio Aleam Ashalom, particularly being that, you know, if you're in doubt, so Unklos and Targum Yonasan, who are, you know, the two go-tos for, you know, explaining the Pesukim, they both were they distance the corporeality of Hashem to the greatest extent possible. Anytime there's any mention of anything which was an anthropomorphism in the Torah and Tanakh, they always, in their translation of it, where they do not go into a lot of drush, they don't go into a lot of interpretation, their translation of it is always something which is an expression of that it was not that God doesn't have a body. They always very much go out of their way to translate those pesukim in a way in which it's clear that it doesn't mean exactly what it says. So says the Rambam, there's no excuse for someone to say, I was brought up with the idea that that Akash Baruch Hu has a body, or that I just, you know, came to my own conclusion about it because I read the Torah and that's the conclusion I came to. That's not an excuse. That person is still a kofar. So the Rambam here seems to be saying pretty clearly the other way, the opposite direction. Someone who is a nebuchadnezzar, they're not because they didn't know any better. So it's not an excuse, they're still considered an apikoros.
So is the Rambam insinuating, you might have talked about this a few months ago, that each of the 13 principles is exactly equal to each other?
Is what?
Exactly equal to each other in terms of importance. Meaning that, like, I would have thought someone that worships idols is worse than someone that believes that God has a body. Like, if there's a ranking among the 13.
Have to be a ranking.
Right, exactly. The answer to your question, I think, is still that no, there is no ranking. The eighth principle includes in it the fact that every pasuk in the Torah is of equal value. So the Rambam there says that the pasuk of Shema Yisrael is of equal importance to the pasuk of the names of non-Jewish kings in the times of Abraham. Right? So they're on the
belief systems as well.
What?
And belief systems, you're saying.
All of these things, you know, come from the Pesukim. So it seems if the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, which is the source that Rambam says, where's the second principle that God is one come from? It's from Shema Yisrael, right?
Yeah, but we said that where some of them don't come from the Mishnah
Torah. I mean, they, whatever it is that they, I mean, the... Right. Right, that's what the Rambam was addressing here, that he's saying being misled is not an excuse. But either way, the point that Mr. Weinstein is making, which I think is the simple answer to the question, is that it really doesn't matter if one of them is more important than the other. The point is they all reach this threshold of being important enough that if you reject it, that you are out of the club. But so the Rambam seems to be saying explicitly here that you don't know any better. Tough. Like, who told you to come to your own conclusion, right? So the Rambam here seems to be, if we just take this Rambam and the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah here, it would seem to imply that someone who, you know, just doesn't know any better has an okay look at Olam Haba, which is what some actually conclude is the position of the Rambam. The problem is that we saw other Rambams which seem to say explicitly not that way. So what is the resolution of these two groups of Rambams? We're almost out of time, so I want to just get through the last point because it's very important for concluding our whole limud of the Ikrim here. I would suggest that the resolution, and this is very along the lines of what Jacob Weinberg understood the point of the Ikrim to be, the difference is someone who does not know any of the Ikrim is indeed an apikores. And we'll get into a minute what the ramifications of that are. There's one exception. The one exception is Torah Shabbat Peh. If you were raised on not knowing Torah Shabbat Peh, so then there's no recourse for you. If you were raised with generally having the Masorah of the Jewish people, but you either are misled or come to your own conclusion about God having a body or whatever else it is, so who told you to come to your own conclusions? You know there's a Torah Shabbat Peh. You know that we have a Masorah. You know that we have the MS. So what are you doing coming to your own conclusions? But if your whole education is that there is no Masorah, if your whole education is that the Torah Shabbat Peh is not real, that that was made up by the rabbis, so then what do you want from the person? There's no way. He didn't have a recourse. His education was that I have no education. His education was that there is no Masorah, and the rabbi, the whole approach of the rabbis is wrong. And that, I think, and therefore the Rambam says by the guy who believes in Gashmus or in Avodah Zarah, in God's corporality or these things, that he has no excuse. You should have gone to Unklus and Targum Yonathan. You know there's a Torah Shabbat Peh. What are you doing coming to your own conclusions and against the Masorah that you know? But someone who is a Karai, who was raised by the Tzedukim, raised by the Karayim, and he has an incorrect belief, he didn't have that option. Well, why'd you come to your own conclusion? You should have, you know, seen what the Masorah says. Your whole education is that the Masorah is wrong. So anyone who in our days, what we refer to as the Tinok Shenishba, the children of the Reform and Conservative who are brought up with the education that the Torah Shabbat Peh is wrong, and you're supposed to interpret the Torah yourself, well, you can't have an expectation of them that they should realize that they should see that the you know, there's rabbis in yeshiva somewhere who have the answers for them. Their whole education is the rabbis in yeshiva got it all wrong. So they would be in that group that the Rambam describes in Hilchos Mamre, that they're still part of Klal Yisrael. They could do shchita if someone is watching to make sure they didn't mess it up. But they still are an apikoros, even though they will have a chelik and olam haba, and they're part of Klal Yisrael, and they could do shchita. They still have the din of an apikoros, like the Rambam says at the end of the Ikrim. That anyone who doesn't believe in one of these, anyone who doesn't know one of these 13 things, is still an apikoros. What's the nafkamina? What's the ramifications? What difference does it make if they're an apikoros? Or we're over time here, so I'm sorry that we're going to have to kind of rush through this. This is very critical, but we mentioned many times that the point of the Ikrim is someone who does not believe in any one of the Ikrim does not feel that they are meshubed to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They don't feel bound by the mitzvos, and if they don't feel bound by the mitzvos, in essence they're doing mitzvos because they want to. Their mitzvos are not mitzvos. Your mitzvos have no value. And therefore, if you are an apikoros, you cannot get schar for mitzvahs. However, does that mean that you are not a ben olam haba? So if you look at the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Halech, where the Rambam sets his ikrim on that Mishnah, the Mishnah is very interesting. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. All Bnei Yisrael have a Chelek Olam Haba. Ve'elu she'elam Chelek Olam Haba. And these are the people who don't have a Chelek Olam Haba. Ha'omer in Tchias HaMesim, right? That's the Apikorsim, right? Hold on a second. You started out and you said, all Yisrael have a Chelek. And they said, and these are the people who don't. So seemingly, the understanding of the Mishnah is, everyone starts with a Chelek and Olam Haba. All Yisrael, by definition of being a Yisrael, by definition of being a neshama, Tzur Chatzov from the Kisei HaKavod, from being the intrinsic reality of being a Jew, gives a person a Chelek in Olam Haba. And unless you cut yourself off from that, you have that Chelek in Olam Haba. It will be something very, very minimal. As if you haven't removed yourself from that, you'll have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Someone who is an Onis, someone who rejects one of the, who doesn't know one of the Ikrim because they're an Onis, they haven't cut themselves off from Olam Haba. They didn't do anything to reject it. They have that being part of Olam Haba because of that. That's what they're created. They are part of Kol Yisrael Yisham Chelek Olam Haba. However, there's another level. There's a much more important level, and this speaks to what you were bringing up earlier about, you know, is a person better off if you just don't teach them at all? So if you go back one page, the Rambam at the end of Masechet Makos says, he's explaining the statement that we all know is the introductory statement to Pirkei Avos, which says that Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zatos as Yisrael Fikaf Hirbanam Torah Mitzvos. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to merit Klal Yisrael, therefore he gave them lots of Torah Mitzvos. The Rambam there says that it's a yesod of the Torah that if a person keeps any mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs appropriately, without any wrong thoughts or motivations in it, that person is zocha to chai olam haba through that mitzvah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave many mitzvos so that over a person's life, they'll at least do one, you know, the right way. So here we have in the end of Chelek, the Rambam saying, as long as you believe these things, you have a Chelek in Olam Haba. But over here he says you have to do the mitzvos in order to get into Olam Haba. So what's the difference? One of them, hold on a second. I do want to finish this sentence. Alright, so just really quickly, that if a person who does not know one of the a person who's rejected one of the Ikrim has no Chelek in Olam Haba whatsoever. They're removed from Klal Yisrael. They've cut themselves off from even from that intrinsic level that their neshama has by merit of being a neshama elyon. Someone who does not know one of the Ikrim has not cut themselves off. They're still part of Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba, but their mitzvos are not mitzvos. If they do any mitzvos, they cannot go past that level. Just the starting point, which is what a person has by being part of Kol Yisrael, this which the Rambam is describing in Makos, that by doing a mitzvah, there's a higher level of Olam Haba. The whole point of, you know, why we're created, the machlokas between Beishan and Beis Hillel, Shammai and Hillel, is it better for a person to be created or not be created, right? So, and in the end, everybody agrees it's better to not be created because of the risk that you, by what would have been great if you would not be created? Right, what would your existence be? If you weren't created, you would start as just being the same as the person who was created and didn't do anything. As long as you have that, you're where you started. The whole reason we're created is because of the opportunity to move up, to advance ourselves. That's the whole point of being here. If a person does not know one of the Ikrim, their mitzvos aren't mitzvos. They're basically they're a person that's noach lo shalom nivra. Would have been just as good as he would have never existed in the first place.
So you're saying there are two levels of Olam Haba.
So there's two levels of Olam Haba. There's basically the base level by merit of being a Jew and not cutting yourself off from that. You have a chelik in Olam Haba. But the whole reason we're here is because we're able to advance ourselves and get a chelik in Olam Haba that we earn for ourselves. That you can only get if you believe all of the ikrim, and your mitzvos therefore advance you in Olam Haba. That's the real the significance of being of the ikrim. Is even if it's not your own fault, you don't know. But at the end of the day, your mitzvos are not mitzvos, and there's no room for advancement in Olam Haba. Nafkamina gedola, big ramification of this is, the Avraham Ben-El speaks this out actually, that if you meet someone who doesn't know one of the ikrim, so what should you do? Should you put tefillin on him, or should you try and teach him the ikrim? Says the Avraham Ben-El, what are you bothering putting tefillin on him for? What's the point? You really want to try and train him, and maybe you think that, like, by doing it, he'll, you know, get some whatever it is. But says the Rabbi, no, much more important to teach him the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Before he knows the Yud Gimel Ikrim, what are you doing? The main thing a person has to know, part of the process, okay, if you want to talk about successful Kiryas strategies, so maybe, you know, bringing him into Jewish culture and making him feel part of all of the wealth of our traditions, but the point isn't because he's doing mitzvos, you know, let's just get him doing mitzvos because at least he's doing mitzvos, says the Abarba now, and comes out pretty clearly that, what's the point of his mitzvos? The most important thing is to make sure that he learns the Yesodos of Amun. If he doesn't learn the Yesodos of Amun, his mitzvos aren't, what are you doing with his mitzvos?
Well, maybe they think that the thinking, and I'm not defending Chabad, but maybe the thinking is that mitzvos will lead to the belief.
So it could be. That's what I'm saying, as an effective Kiruv strategy we talk about. But as just like, you know, it's important that we get them doing mitzvos because we want everybody to do mitzvos, says that's the Barbanel saying is not a valid. But that is the Yesod of the Ikrim, is a person is created, he is a Yisrael. But it's only through the Ikrim that you can advance yourself because I'm doing mitzvos.
Actually, the mitzvah seems to imply from the Sanhedrin that